on you. I'm grateful for that. And when we got started at the church where I pastor, at Truth Baptist Church in Bremen, Brother Ken came over and preached our dedication service in the little storefront building. And you guys were a step or two ahead of us. Y'all were in a whole dress shop, and we were in a tanning salon. And so, I mean, it was a tight fit where we were, I mean, in a tanning salon. And we had a karate studio on one side and a dance studio on the other side. And on Wednesday night, they was dancing on one side, fighting on the other side, and I was preaching in between. Amen. And we had two bathrooms in there, though, and in one of them the toilet worked, and the other one the sink worked, so you could go to one, use it, and the other one wash your hands. And so I'm grateful for what the Lord did for us in those days. I appreciate His blessings on us, and I'm grateful for the times and the days that the Lord has met with us, for the souls that He has saved, for the people He's called into the ministry, for the preachers that He's called from us. And I told my wife the other day, it seems like every time we've turned around over the last 20 years, somebody else has announced a call to preach, and then somebody's gone to pastor church, and they tend to take their wife and their kids and my choir singers and pianists with them when they go. And but it's the way that works out, and I'm grateful for the Lord to have seen fit to use us in some way. And the Lord has surely used you here, and I want to thank you for the blessing that you and this church have been to me, and that your pastor has been to me over the years, and his family, Mr. Renee, and their daughters, and I appreciate them. Hebrews 13, let's look in verse number 15. The word of the Lord says unto us, Hebrews 13 and 15, by Him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto His name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. I don't know what you think about it tonight, but anything the Bible tells me pleases the Lord, I'm interested in it this evening. Obey them that have rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. You can be seated tonight. Thank you for standing with us while we read the Word of the Lord. These last verses of the book of Hebrews are like the closing verses of many of the epistles in the New Testament, in that they're not often the subject of our reading or in our preaching. In this chapter, there are some marquee verses that do catch the attention of people and have been memorized and noticed and repeated time and again. Verses like what we find at the end of verse 5 when He said, I have said, for He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Verse number 8 where it said, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Verse number 15 is one of my favorite, and we'll come back more to it. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto His name. Verses 20 and 21, that phrase, now the God of peace, in verse 21, verse 21, make you perfect in every good work, that completeness, that maturity, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. There are some marquee verses in this chapter, but for the most part, the rest of the verses are virtually ignored. We do very little preaching usually from this chapter. Folks don't spend a whole lot of time reading here and mining out the truths that are here, like we maybe do in Hebrews 11 and 12, or like we do in Hebrews 1, 2, 3, and 4. Great verses, great chapters of the Word of God. There are no bad ones, only good ones, great ones. But Hebrews 13 is more profound than what we realize tonight. And I'm interested in this phrase, and we'll just stay right here in these few verses, in these four verses where we've read tonight, in the Word of the Lord. So if you keep your Bibles open, and I want us to look at these verses, lay them up on the operating table, dissect them and see what the Lord has for us in these verses of the Word of God. And see the treasures that are found in these four verses. And I want to see them in light of the little phrase that closes verse number 16, where the Bible says, "For with such sacrifices God is well pleased." I want to talk tonight about sacrifices that please the Lord, or sacrifices that please God. I'm interested in the things that please the Lord. I'm interested in sacrifices that please God. And now oftentimes we've seen examples throughout the Scriptures of where people sought to please God with a sacrifice, but what they gave unto the Lord as a sacrifice or an offering did not measure up. I mean, we see it even from the beginning of time. When Cain and Abel brought their offering unto the Lord, one brought of the fruit of the field, and the other brought of the fatling of the flock. And the Bible said the Lord was well pleased with the offering of Abel, but He was not pleased. He had not respect unto the sacrifice of Cain. And the reason was, the Bible said, because sin lieth at the door. And Cain was wroth. He was angry at the Lord because the Lord had not received well his sacrifice. The people of Israel in the Old Testament brought sacrifices unto God. And in not every case was the Lord pleased. Not in every case did He receive what they brought to Him. Matter of fact, they brought a multitude of burnt offerings to the Lord in Isaiah 1 for Him to say, "Away with them." Hey, you see, He said, "I'll not have them." He refused them. He said, "Your hands are polluted. Your hands are hands of blood." He said, "You'll open your hands before Me, and I will not hear." Can you not see them down there at the altar with their hands open, their eyes pointing toward heaven, begging God to receive their sacrifice? But there was a problem in their life as sin reigned, and they needed something to deal with the sin problem. And my friend, I'm telling you, empty worship, empty praise, empty preaching, church services for the sake of it, another meeting, another revival, another camp meeting, and though I love them and preach them just about every week of my life, that will not be enough. We've got to have something that pleases the Lord. A great singing tonight. Wonderful playing on the piano and these musical instruments and so forth. But I'm going to tell you tonight, we can come together in a pretty place like this. How folks can dress up in suits and ties and have beautiful clothes and adorn ourselves, and I believe we ought to. And my friend, we can shake hands and make nice. But if some doesn't happen here tonight that pleases God, that lifts up the Lord, that brings glory to God, that honors the Lord, all of our efforts are in vain. The old timers sung right when they sang the old song, "All in vain except the Spirit of the Holy One comes down." It's not about what you or I may be able to do, about our credentials, our backgrounds, whatever it is, our accomplishment in being. It's not about the attaboy buttons and pin on your chest, or the trail of Sunday school pins that may drag the ground in the years you pastored and preached or taught a Sunday school class. But ultimately, what matters is what God says He's pleased with. I'm interested in pleasing the Lord tonight. In Amos chapter 5, verse 21, the Lord said, "But I despise your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. And though you offer me burnt offerings and meat offerings, I will not accept them, neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts." And you see, they had some sort of a form of worship, a form of godliness, but they denied the power thereof. That's in the days of that northern kingdom, that sin of Jeroboam. You remember what that sin was? He got the basest men, the sorest men in the county, had to become his priest. He, my friend, had a church building, and he had an altar, and he had a sacrifice, and he had priests, and he had a book, and he had everything but God. And my friend, the man of God came down there to preach against his sin, and he even said, "Seize him," and called for them to arrest the preacher man for preaching against his empty, vacant of religion and vanity.
But whenever he pointed at the man of God and said, seize him, his hand froze that away. And he could not draw it back unto himself. And next thing you know, in the judgment of God, he began praying and asking that man of God, please pray for me. This would pose a problem, by the way. Hey, having your arms stuck that away. Hey, my friend, I wouldn't want to have to lay down in bed at night if my spouse is stuck like this, would you? I mean, can you imagine the trouble it'd give you putting your clothes on and trying to drive down the road and you stuck like this? Hey, my friend, the Lord did have mercy on him. But I'm going to tell you, God was not pleased. I'm not pleased with their system of worship. Not pleased with their system of having church. They had to have something more. I'm going to tell you, my friend, we can have buildings and stuff and we can have polished ways of going about our business. You can read the lines and spaces as well as the shapes in that a church hymnal. Put on the suit and the tie. And my friend, and it's still not pleased God. Ultimately, what matters tonight is that we figure out what God loves, what God likes, what God inhabits, what God's pleased with, and then get in the traces with the Lord. And to my friend, please Him tonight. Please Him. Now let me say at the outset here this evening, ultimately when it comes to dealing with our biggest problem, which is our sin problem, and when it comes to dealing with our sin problem, there is the one sacrifice that pleases the Lord. I mean, friend, nothing else will please Him. The blood of bulls and goats and calves and the sprinkling of the ashes of a heifer never could wash sin away. But my friend, there is one sacrifice with which God is pleased. Hey, you see, it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He had put Him to grief. And John baptized in Jordan and said, compare across the hillside, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Woo! You know what the Lord said about that? When John baptized Jesus in Jordan, and the Lord said, behold, He said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Woo! I tell you, He's pleased with Him. He's pleased with Jesus. He's pleased, my friend. Oh, thank God, He's pleased with His sacrifice, pleased with His blood, pleased with His life, pleased with His death, pleased with His ministry, pleased with His words. On that mountain of transfiguration, the Father spoke from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him. I like what He has to say. I like His words. If we'll preach His words, the Lord will be pleased with it. If we'll trust His blood, the Lord will be pleased with it. If we'll worship in His glory, the Lord will be pleased with it. Ultimately, it's Jesus that pleases the Father. He's the one that satisfies. The Lord is not you or me or the Baptist or the preacher. It's Jesus that satisfies the Lord. Amen. Amen. Not only do I see that it is the Lord, ultimately Jesus, our Savior, that is the only sacrifice that is pleasing to God when it comes to our sin, but then for those of us who have put our trust, our confidence, our faith in Him to be our Savior, only and all-sufficient hope. My friend, that same Lord Jesus has taught us through this epistle how that we as children of God, as believers in Christ, how that we may offer a sacrifice that is pleasing to the Lord. That is found in these four verses of the Word of God. I could not deal with my sin problem, Brother Mike. Jesus dealt with that problem for me. I put my trust in Him. But now as a saved man, I want to do something that pleases the Lord. I mean, what can I render unto Him for all His benefits towards me? I can't repay Him, but I tell you, I can please Him. And I'm interested in how, and I found it in God's Word, and I want to share it with you. Sacrifices that please the Lord. So first of all, tonight, let's notice the sacrifice that pleases the Lord is found In verse number 15, if you see your Bibles tonight, look at what this verse says. By Him, therefore, let us offer. Is that not the language of sacrifice, offering? Let us offer to God. Let us offer the sacrifices of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto His name. I want to tell you, the Lord is pleased with the sacrifice of praise. Amen. The Lord inhabits the praise of His people. The Lord is interested in it. When we honor Him, when we worship Him, when we praise Him, when we glorify Him, when we lift up His name. As a matter of fact, not only is He interested in it, but when we do it, He has a way of drawing others to Himself. And if I be lifted up, I'll draw men unto me. It's through us glorifying Jesus that God draws sinners into the gospel. It's when we lift up Christ that the Lord magnifies His name and draws sinners unto Him, that they may know the same Jesus we know that can fix their sin problem. You know what we're short on tonight? We're short on praising God. I'm not feeling we're long on words and long on sermons and long on songs and short on praise. And we're long on form and fashion and displays, but we're short on praising God. I've been to places where there's long on racket and long on noise and long, my friend, on sonic booms and smoke machines and my friend, loud music. But they were short on praise. And just because it's loud and it's lively don't mean it's the Lord. Just because there's a lot of racket don't mean there's revival. But praise God. If we'll get our hearts in sincerity and worship God and lift up God and praise God and glorify God, the Lord Jesus is pleased with that.
He's pleased with it. He inhabits the praises of His people. Oh, when we worship the Lord, He comes down and gets right in the middle of that. Amen. Now listen, I don't know if this is real good theology or not, but I enjoy it, so don't try to straighten me out over it. You know how it is. If you've ever been saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, you walk with the Lord, you know how it is to worship God. You've ever been in the glory. Hey, you know what I'm talking about. It's the truth. They pick a guitar like I did a while ago. I strum that thing one time. And I was sitting over there. I had a pretty long day. It's been a good day, but it's been a long day. Work this morning when preacher's meeting this afternoon. Had service over here tonight. Had three services on yesterday. It's been a long couple of days. But it's been good, and I thank the Lord for it. And I was kind of tired and asking the Lord to help me a while ago. As soon as He picked that guitar and began to sing, and then my friend began to sing that song, and my friend about the record book, and where my name's written down, and where my hope is. It's in that book of life. Hallelujah. And I was reminded of what Jesus said. Don't rejoice because the devils are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your name, my name is written in heaven. Oh, I bless His thine holy name. I praise God. Makes me want to shout. Makes me want to rejoice. Makes me want to sing. Makes me want to preach. Makes me glad I'm here tonight. Praise God for where my name's written down. The Lord is pleased with that. I got a King James Bible right. My friend, this book said that if my name's written in heaven, I can rejoice. My name is written in heaven, and I can rejoice. Woo! Oh, bless His name. And I don't do it tonight because I have to. I do it because I want to, because I love to, because I get to, and because I'm glad to. Woo! Hallelujah. Names written in heaven. I appreciate what Brother Matthias said in Kentucky several years ago. One of the ladies of his church said, "Brother Gene, did the Lord tell you you had to sell this morning?" He said, "No, ma'am, He didn't. I just volunteered." Woo!
When's the last time you volunteered and said, Lord, I know you love it when your people worship you, and I want to be the first one. I want to start the ball rolling. And God, give me a sound, God. And give me a testimony, God. Give me a song. And give me a witness. And breathe in my life. Move over my soul. I want to worship the Lord. My heart prays for it. I long for it. I need it. I live by it. I mean, it's more necessary to me than my own food. I need it more than I need my next breath. I need to worship God. I was born to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. And I never could get satisfied until I got born again. And when I got born again, I could praise the Lord. And my friend, I'm never going to stop praising the Lord. And when this whole body gets too worn out, praise Him here. He'll give me a brand new one. And my voice will never tire or grow old. And my song shall ever be, praise the Lamb who died for me. And now sing it while the ages shall roll. What a day that day will be. What on planet Earth makes people think that they want to go to heaven so bad and they don't even like going to church? Amen. I mean, you're sitting there tapping your watch to see if it's still working at 12:05, and you think you want to go spend 1,000,000 years in glory shouting hallelujah. I mean, you don't have much evidence of that in your life. Amen. The same folks that love Jesus, they go to church and they like it too. Amen. That's exactly right. And when we get here, we want to worship the Lord. Amen, friend. Oh, yes. He said, let's offer that sacrifice of praise. Have my friend, Psalm 69:30, the Bible says, I will praise the name of God with a song, and will magnify Him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or a bullock that have horns and hoofs. How do you realize you could give God something tonight? How you could take and slaughter livestock for Him? How you could feed Him a steak? You could give Him a $100 bill? And it wouldn't please Him like just raising your hand in sincere and saying, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I thank you for loving me when I didn't know how to love myself. Thank you for coming in my life, helping my family. Thank you for being real in my home and in my heart. I'm going to tell you that'll please the Lord more than an ox that has horns and hooves. Oh, praise His name. How about Psalm 22:3 said, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. If you want to please God, you can do it with a thankful heart. Or you can do it with a voice of praise, with lips that utter His glory, with a song that magnifies His name. And we are to offer Him that sacrifice of praise. Amen. And if it's going to be praise that pleases God, the Bible tells us what kind it's got to be. And this is usually where folks stop in wholesale. Sort of stop a little ways and say, I don't know if Brother Toby's got this part right or not. But that's why we preach the Bible. Because then you don't get to argue with me. You'll just have to go home and figure out how to argue with the Lord. And that's an argument you won't never win. Amen. Look what the Bible says. Here's how there is a right way to please the Lord. Folks in our day says it don't make no difference how you praise God. Everybody praises Him different. It don't make any difference. And it's A-okay. No matter what, you're okay. I'm okay. Everybody's okay and everything's okay. But that is not what the Bible teaches. And the Bible tells us how to please God with our praise. How to glorify God with our praise. Look what the Bible says. If you're going to offer praise that pleases God, He said, by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. If you are going to please God with your praise, it's got to be an offering. By Him, let us offer. If it is coerced, if it must be forced, if, my friend, your preacher's got to twist your arm and to poke at you with a stick to get you to worship God, then you're not worshiping in a way that pleases the Lord. Now listen, I'm not against it. I'm not against it. Please don't put things in my mouth I didn't say. I assure you I'll get in enough trouble for what I really do say. But my friend, it ought not to be necessary for the preacher to say, everybody that's here tonight and enjoys it, say amen. Everybody's glad you're saved, say amen. Everybody's glad you got a mom and a daddy, say amen. Nothing wrong with that kind of stuff. But if it takes that to provoke us to worship, if it takes that to get us to praise God, if somebody has to twist our arms, pump and prime and push and beg and plead with us to worship God, then we're doing it wrong. Amen. We are to enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. You should have showed up here tonight to worship the Lord. My friend, ought not to take any motivational speeches. It ought not to take a perfectly sung a hymnal out of the red book. It ought not to take the sweating and stomping and slobbering of the preacher man. I like all of those things. But if that's what it takes to get you stirred to worship, then you're doing it the wrong way. You see, there's a man down on the inside of me that hops up and down and says, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And when I said I wouldn't tell it to a living soul, He brought salvation and He made me whole. I found I couldn't hide such love as Jesus did impart. Anybody know it? And it makes me laugh and it makes me cry and it sets my sinful soul on fire. Hallelujah! When God dips His love in my heart, I willingly praise Him. I'm glad to praise Him. It's an offering. I'm glad to offer it unto Him. Amen. Oh, we got to go to church Sunday. We got to go to church Sunday night. We got to go to camp meeting. Ain't that pitiful? I mean, we got to do it. We got to do it. We got to do it. I'm going to tell you, we get to do it. We get to do it. We get to do it. And the Lord is merciful. You could be flat on your back in a hospital bed tonight, but you're here. And you could be down there at the cancer clinic. And my friend is going through a round of chemotherapy. But you're here. You could be laying in CCU. Have my friend in Atlanta in the hospital, some of my church folks. But you're here tonight. You could be down there at the funeral home. Gather around that one closest to you, their body lying there. But you're here this evening. I say hallelujah to God that I am here. I'm glad that I am here. I'm glad for the place where I am, what's in my heart. For the joy of God that bubbles up in my soul. And He's not having to coerce me to do what I'm doing tonight. But I'm glad that I'm able to do what I'm doing, where I am doing it this evening. An offering, an offering. If you want to praise and please God, it'll have to be an offering. If you want to play praise and please God, you need to do it often. He said, by Him therefore, we're saying in the Bible now, by Him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. How often? Continually. Well, I had talked to somebody the other day, and they said, you know, said they worked with an old boy, and said he's religious, you know. Said, I don't know how saved he is, or how much of a Christian he is, but he's religious. He said, but it made me worry about it. We'd get into work in the mornings, and he'd talk about this little prayer group, his in Bible study group, or whatever. And he said, now we got a lady in our church just aggravates the fire out of me. I said, every time she shows up at that meeting, she's got something to praise the Lord about. I said, every time she comes in, said, one week it's the Lord. I praise the Lord that He paid this bill for me. I praise the Lord that He helped my son and my daughter. I praise the Lord that so and so that is sick got well. I praise the Lord for the rain. I praise the Lord for the sunshine. I said, she just always wanting to praise the Lord. I said, what in the world's wrong with that? Amen. That's exactly right. I would to God I could be around some folks that was always wanting to praise the Lord. Most everybody I know is always wanting to grumble and complain. Have belly ache and gripe. But in everything we are to give thanks. Oh yes, hallelujah. We're to praise Him continually. Praise ought to be ordinary. It ought to be often and not occasional. It ought not to be once in a while that we worship God. But it ought to be all the while we worship God. Isn't it amazing how seldom things get normal around church? Any of y'all been around where God is enough to know what normal is? Brother David, every time I've been where He is, I lose sight of where I am. Amen. That's exactly right. Somebody said, oh, so-and-so, once in a while they just get acting crazy and unseemly. I'm going to tell you, every time I've ever really been where he is, I'm talking about in his manifested presence now, I behave in ways that I wouldn't behave any other time or in any other place or in any other way. I mean, I've come to the conclusion that when we act up and worship God, that is not out of the ordinary. We just barely are entering into ordinary. Amen. My friend, it's just about to get normal when we get in the presence of the Lord and lose sight of ourselves and bring honor and glory to God. And it ought not to be once every month or quarter. My friend, when you happen to have foot washing or whatever else, but it ought to be all the time. And we ought to just, if we have breath, praise the Lord. And we ought to bring glory to God all the time. Often. He said it's an offering. He said it to be often. And then I want to tell you, according to this Bible, if we're going to praise God the way it pleases Him, we're going to have to praise Him openly. But what it said, the sacrifice, the praise of God continually, that is, this is what it is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Now, I spend more of my time, I farm a little on the side, like I got spare time or something. Working and pastoring and preaching and family, I ain't got no time, but I like farming. I can take a 5-gallon bucket out there to them 3 black heifers out at the end of the road and turn that thing upside down and sit on that 5-gallon bucket and talk to them, and it seems like the cares of the whole world disappear. Amen. I can tell them whatever I want to tell them. They never do go and tell nobody else about it. I can get mad at them. They don't never talk back. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. The phone, if I turn that thing off or leave it at the house, it won't bother me while I'm sitting out there. Don't know a whole lot about other kinds of farming, but I do know enough about farming of these trees and enough of these fruits and enough of these vegetables and so forth to know that fruit don't grow on the inside of a tree. I mean, I never found a pecan tree with pecans on the inside of the tree. Every one I ever found to grow, my friend, the fruit grew out there on the end of the limb. I mean, we grew watermelons and cantaloupes and tomatoes and everything else when I was growing up. And I never found a single thing we grew in the garden where the fruit was on the inside of the tree. It all would bear on the outside. Matter of fact, out on the extremities, on the ends of the limbs. Hey, man, that's exactly right. I grew up in an apple orchard. Every apple tree out there, the apples grew on the outside of the tree. Hey, did you know if you have the fruit of praise in your life, it won't be all bottled up on the inside either. Hey, your fruit may come from the inside, but it will be manifested on the outside. Amen. And by the way, when it gets on the outside and hangs out there just right, and it seasons up just right, that's when it gets good and sweet. Amen. Oh, do you have any fruit of praise in your life? Our fruit ought not to be hidden. It ought to be an outward production. I remember that the preacher man that is a missionary down in St. Lucia come by our church back about 10 years ago. And he had to be in a work in Grenada and lost his visa there, and they wouldn't renew it. He came for 3 months on a temporary stay to the States. Had to figure out where he would even go. Lost his work, lost his ability to go back to the church. We've been serving. I'm talking about a national pastor. He wasn't from here. He's just here for a 3-month stay. I'm going back to the field. Didn't even know where he was going to go. But he showed up first time he'd ever been at Truth Baptist Church. I showed up at a missions meeting. That night we started singing Amazing Grace for the song. That first song, and it was like a bomb went off. I'm talking a hydrogen bomb. How an explosion took place. Folks are shouting everywhere. A preacher from up Tennessee was there. He got wound up. I run out the back door, run up Highway 78 to preach it, didn't come back till about the end of the service. Had that old boy from down there in the middle American countries. I looked around everywhere, didn't know what to think about the whole thing. I had no idea if it was a language barrier or what it was, but he looked like he'd just swallowed his liver. I mean, it was giving him trouble. And later on, he stood up and he testified. And he said, the little church I grew up in, I'm not feeling. He said, they'd buy me where I was around. They told us, don't ever worship outwardly. I said, if you do that, folks will think you're a charismatic or a Pentecostal. And he said, they told us to sit quiet and behave ourselves and not get out of control. And he said, I'd sit there and hear him sing Amazing Grace. And the man inside me would cry out and say, yes, I was blind, but now I see. Praise God, I was lost, but now I'm found. He's kept me safe through many dangers, shoals, and snares. And he said, I wanted to say hallelujah. The preacher preached, and I wanted to say amen. The choir would sing, and I'd want to glorify God. But he said, I knew I'm better not. But he said, I'm so glad I got kicked out of my country to come here to Bremen, Georgia. And God's taught me what to go back and share with them. Not only do we need to love God more, but he said, we need to love God more openly. And don't keep our light under a bushel. Have to put it on a candlestick. A sign unto everyone around us. And love him more and love him more openly. Our praise and our worship ought to be open if it's going to please God. Bible now. Our praise, if it's going to please God, ought to be outspoken. The fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto His name. Now, this Sunday, you're going to come and you're just going to worship the Lord in your heart. Well, I'm shouting in my heart, preacher. You don't know. Didn't you know? Hadn't any of you preachers ever heard this? It's what's in your heart that counts. That's the only thing that matters. It's what's in your heart. Anybody else ever been told that besides me? I mean, that is really, preacher, the only thing that matters. Folks will even try to convince me of that by quoting Scripture. And they'll say, don't you know that God looks on the heart? And He does. Is that not what the Bible says? That God looketh upon the heart. And by the way, that's found in 1 Samuel, for those of you that like to quote it, but you don't really know where it even is. And that God looketh upon the heart. But I'm going to tell you what that verse says. You're leaving part of it off. He said, for God seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh upon the heart. You know what the problem is with it being the only thing, being in your heart, the only thing that matters? A man's not looking at your heart. They can't see on the inside. All they see is this outward man. And what are we to do according to Jesus? Let's get in the New Testament. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. If all we do is in our heart and not outwardly, nobody but God's even going to know about it, and the Lord didn't plan it that way. We got to let our light shine to the world. If our gospel is hid, it's hid to them that are lost. If we're going to communicate with them, we got to do something besides just in our heart. Amen. By the way, there ain't nobody in this building believes that anyhow. That what's in your heart's the only thing that matters. You don't believe that. It's a good excuse for you, but you don't believe it. I'm going to illustrate it. I'm going to illustrate it to you. Tonight we come to camp meeting time. And Brother Ken, Pastor, you come in. Please don't get offended calling you Brother Ken. I love you. And I'm not being disrespectful. We've just been friends a long time. Pastor, you come in tonight in this meeting and you decide tonight I'm just going to pastor in my heart because that's really all that matters. So tonight when it comes time to start the service, I'm not going to pastor outwardly. I'm just going to pastor inwardly because it's what's in your heart that counts and that's really all that matters. And so he sits here. About 5 minutes after time to start, he's still sitting here pastoring in his heart. Hey man, somebody help me now. About 10 minutes after time to start, he's still pastoring in his heart. Hey man, choir director says that tonight I'm not going to lead the choir in body because it's what's in my heart that all that matters. I'm just going to direct the choir in my heart. He's just beating 4/4, 3/4, 6/8, 12/8 times. Just beating the fire out of it in his heart. But you don't know nothing about it. Pianist says, tonight I'm not going to play the piano in body because it's what's in your heart. That's all that matters. And so I'm going to just sit here. I'm just going to sit here on my stool and I'm going to play the piano in my heart. Woo! Hey, we're spiritual tonight. I mean, we're going to do it in our hearts because we're spiritual, ain't we? Amen. Come time for the congregation to sing. But all of y'all are so spiritual that you're just going to sing in your hearts. Because it's really the only thing that matters, ain't it? What's in your heart. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm carnal. Now I come in the side door over there tonight and I expected the pastor to pastor outwardly and not just inwardly. And I expected the choir director to direct outwardly and the pianist to play outwardly. And I'm looking for somebody to sing outwardly. I'm looking for something. I can't see nobody's heart. And about 10 minutes after church to start, I'm going to stand up and go there and say, hey, is anybody going to have church around here? And I'm going to tell you something. I'm not the only one in here that's that carnal. There's a whole lot of other folks sitting around here that'd be the same way. We might as well say of this excuse of it's what's in our hearts, the only thing that matters. I'm telling you, we need to be outspoken with our praise. I'll be unashamed of our worship. We need to stand up when it comes time, grab the old church hymnal, and sing the songs of Zion, raise our hands in praise, say amen to the preacher, thank God for the chance to be in church, and we ought to have an outspoken spirit to praise about us. God will not look down at heaven from heaven and say, well, now if they'd just shut up and do it in their hearts alone, then it'd be good. But instead he said, come on, children. With your lips, praise me. With your voices, praise me. With the timbrel and the dance. With the cymbals and the high-sounding cymbals. Oh, praise God. With the psaltery and the harp. Oh, clap your hands and praise Him. Hallelujah. Anybody believe what I'm preaching about? Sacrifice of praise that pleases the Lord. And I've got to finish preaching. I ain't got started hardly, but I'm still going to quit. A sacrifice of praise pleases the Lord. Let's stay in the Bible for just a moment and I'll be finished. Verse 16, look at what it says. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices God is well pleased. The sacrifice of preaching pleases the Lord. I mean, look at that first phrase, to do good and communicate, forget not. Anybody been around where somebody is communicating about doing good? I don't know a whole lot better definition of preaching than that. To communicate to please God. The message of the gospel is pleasing to the Lord. It's pleasing to God when His men preach under the unction of the Holy Ghost. It's foreign to this whole world. Matter of fact, it seems like if they ever hear you preach, I mean, folks that's known you in business or people that's known you in the community or whatever else, those youth preachers, I'm talking about Holy Ghost preachers now, you know what I'm talking about. If they've known you in some other walk of life or whatever, and then they hear you preach, they look at you like you've got off a spaceship or something or other. Amen. That's right. The ones that have worked with me over the years, they said, you know, I've worked with you all these years and I always thought you was quiet and soft-spoken and kept to yourself. And it seemed like you become a whole different person and somebody else takes over when you get behind that pulpit. And all I can do is say, guilty as charged. Amen. Somebody else does take over. Oh, brother, that is the Holy Ghost. That's what anointing is. That's what the power of God is. And it still pleases God. Hey, you say it's foolishness. That's what they've been saying about the old time preacher a long time. But it pleased the Lord by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The Greeks seek after a sign. I seek after wisdom. And the Jews seek after a sign. Oh, my friend, hey. But you know what? We are the Gentile church. Oh, we are that generation that seeks after wisdom. But the foolishness of God is greater than the wisdom of men. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. And in this generation that's ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth, I thank the Lord He's still giving us a few preacher men along. Oh, my friend, that's preaching the Word of God. Oh, and my friend, under the power and unction of the Holy Ghost, that's crying aloud and sparing not and declaring, thus saith the Word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was in a fancy conference center several years ago, and is out of place. I mean, it's out of place in the porcupine and the balloon factory. I don't like those things. I don't like the conference rooms, and I don't like the restaurants, and I don't like the way they make a salad. Bring me a salad with vinaigrette on it and no cheese. That's pitiful. I could have gone to the Waffle House and got a better salad than that. It cost $40 for a salad with vinaigrette and goat cheese. I asked for cheese, they give me goat cheese. I asked for dressing. I said, y'all got any ranch? She said, we got such and such balsamic vinaigrette with some sort of muscadine flavor to it. And I thought, my soul, that's pitiful. The fellow giving us a presentation there that day, fellow come in from the home office, and officer of some kind way on up the ladder, you know. He came and sat down right where I was, across the table from me. Brother Mike, he was the one paying for that salad. And the salad weren't no good. But he was paying for that prime rib that was coming after it. And it was about $70, and buddy, it was the bomb. And he sat down and talked with me for a little while. And he said, seemed like he was just soaking up the presentation. I thought, I'd just sitting there, but, you know. Seemed like he was really interested and really caring. I do genuinely care about anything that I do. I care about it, or else I wouldn't do it. I give my best at whatever I do. I want to do my best. I want my life in every area to glorify God. Whatever I find with my hand to do, I want to do it with all of my might. Amen. And so I listened to him for a few moments. He said, Mr. Powers, they tell me, right after they delivered that steaming hot prime rib, he said, Mr. Powers, they tell me that you are some kind of preacher. I said, yes, sir. That's right. I'm cutting that prime rib. You could have cut it with a plastic fork and knife. He said, oh, said, I like preachers. He said, I like all kinds of preachers. He said, I'm Catholic myself. And said, I teach a class at our church, young people, and said, but now I like all kinds of preachers. Said, they don't have to be Catholic. He said, I like Episcopalian preachers and Presbyterian preachers and Methodist preachers and Church of God preachers and even Baptist preachers. He said, now wait a minute. Said, now there's just, I said, I like most preachers. Said, I like almost all preachers. There's one kind of preachers that I really don't like. He said, I really don't like them hollering preachers. I was eating fast as I could. And he sort of paused. He said, you're not one of them, are you? I poked my fork in that $70 prime rib, drug it over close enough where I knew he'd be scared to take it away. Stuck the knife in one part of it, and I grinned and I said, yes, sir, I'm one of them. Oh, hear me. I'm not ashamed tonight to be one of them. I've been one of them for almost 30 years now. I've been labeled and mocked and made fun of. I've had folks that said, I don't want to hear that anymore. People have a come and gone and whatever else. Has some that used to love it, don't like it no more. Has some that said we can go no farther with it. But praise God, I've started in Jesus. And I'm going through. And when I leave the church and folks don't want to shake my hand, I walk out the door and people don't say, I enjoyed the preaching. And when folks seem like they don't want me around, if I go home and feel that God in heaven looks down and nods His head and says, son, you done right. You did well. You did what I told you to do. Then that's what really matters. I love you tonight. I want you to enjoy my preaching. But if you don't and he still agrees with what I say and I please the Lord, then that's what really will matter. Because he's the one I'm preaching for. I love you, but I didn't come preach for you. I'm preaching for him tonight. If I was preaching for you and you didn't like it, it'd be a bad day. I love you and I'm glad you're here. But since I'm preaching for him, if you don't like it, and the Lord nods his head and says, that's right, son. Keep on keeping on. I'll fire up the old Chevrolet truck tonight. Head to the next stop. I'll run on up to Bremen Wednesday night and Sunday morning, Sunday night. Chatsworth next week. I'll preach on anyway. And as long as it pleases him, that's what will really matter. Preaching has been relegated, mocked, and made fun of. But it still pleases the Lord. Amen. I went out the door of a church back about a year and a half, 2 years ago, and I had about five or six people come by the door and said the same thing, but the kid is weird. I don't know if they've been talking to one another or what. They come by the door and I never had anybody say this to me anywhere else at any other time. In the same place, five or six people said this when they came out the door. They said, I don't know if I believe what you said tonight or not. And they didn't have to tell me that. I could tell by looking at them while I was preaching they didn't know. I don't know if I agree with what you said tonight or not. But this is what they all said. I do believe that you believe it. We're living in a generation of preaching that is so non-convincing that the world don't even think we believe our own preachers. And we need some men of God to get on fire with a fire set up in their bones and preach, thus saith the word of God, without fear nor favor of man, in a way to praise God and not to appease the crowd. I'm closing now. Let's look at what the Bible says. Verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you. There is the sacrifice of praise and of preaching. But then there's a sacrificial pattern in verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you. Submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that's unprofitable for you. He shows us in this verse God's order, the pattern that pleases God. He's pleased with the submission to established authority. There is a pattern of careful, caring, considerate, and continual order. One way that I know what's going on in our country today is not of the Lord is because of all the chaos that's in it. This is a world and a country and a land that's in disorder, in disarray. Rebellion has lifted its ugly head. We think it's cool now to see people riding about with the back of their pickup truck and a label on it that says no fear, and yet the Word of God says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of knowledge. Living in a generation in authority, you can't glorify the Lord. If you're a deacon and you're not in subjection to your pastor and loving the man of God and supporting him, praying for him, trying to help him in every way you can, then you can't glorify God in the life you're living. Amen. That's exactly right. We got to get in order with what the Word of God says if we're going to please the Lord. Sacrifices that are well pleasing to God. I mean, it'd be amazing if God's people come together in one mind and one accord instead of everybody having their own agenda. It'd be amazing what we could do. One man told me recently, he said, I don't believe in organized religion. I said, well, you ought to come to church with me. We're Baptists, and ain't one of them churches organized.
Amen.
Pattern.
You in subjection to your pastor? You following and praying for the man of God? You loving God's people? You pray for your Sunday school teacher and your choir director? Pray for them to have rule over you? If you knew the burden that lays on my heart for people for which I am responsible, you wouldn't go another day without praying for your pastor. It's broken my heart. I've delivered mamas to the jail cell to see their boys that grew up in the church where I pastor. I've had to watch them while they walked around in the suit with a stripe down their side, boys that I baptized. Preachers that in the past have preached in my pulpit that are now working full time as a bartender. My heart breaks. I'm going through town the other day and somebody that used to teach Sunday school in our church that I love dearly and love his family. And right now tonight if he called me in the middle of the night, I would be there and gladly be there and be thrilled to be there. Amen! Don't hold 1 ounce of heart feeling towards him. Didn't get mad at the church or whatever else. Just went off the rails. The wheels fell off somewhere. Passed through town the other night and he's walking down the sidewalk with a bottle of liquor in his hand. You don't think my heart broke? I got to give an account before God of what I preached to him, and I hope what I've preached right. I sure have tried to be obedient to the Lord. He said, do this that they may do it with joy, not with grief. Then look at the sacrifice of praise in verse 18, or prayer in verse 18. He said, pray for us. We take that so flippantly. Tonight, we'll leave out of here less than 5 minutes. I'll be done. And people will leave out of this place and they'll say, as they're leaving, y'all pray for us. We'll see you Sunday. Pray for us. It's almost like, see you later. Goodbye. I'll feed the scene. It's a throwaway line for us to say, pray for us. Pray for us. We'll do it. Y'all pray for us. Both of you go to your car, neither one of you do it. Isn't that right? But if you could do anything in the whole wide world for me, Brother Ken Bowman, would you please pray for me? I need it more than I can tell you. I'm tired. My spirit's worn. My body's tired. I feel like I've been dragging an anvil for the last 25 years. I enjoy serving Jesus and I want to please Him with all that's in me. But I know that in myself I'll fall short and I need the help of God. If you really want to help me tonight, when you pray, pray for me. Sincerely, from the depths of your heart, pray for my children. I've got 3 girls. My oldest one, God saved her when she was 9 years old. My baby, God saved her this past Easter. On Easter Sunday, she's 8 years old. My middle girl will soon be 15, and she's not yet been saved. When you pray, would you pray for my children? Pray for us. Do this as we trust we have a good conscience. In all things willing to live honestly. Pray that we may serve the Lord sincerely. Pray that God would be pleased with us with a good conscience. Pray that we may do our best and not slack in our service. I want to finish well. Pray that we have no need to be ashamed before the Lord and that our service may be without hypocrisy. Pray that God is pleased with us and we may have an honest life before Him and before others. Pray that we may say, serve the Lord in the same thing in private as what we are in public. Pray that we may grow in sincerity. This is our desire tonight and I'm done. People around the world have walked on hot coals. They have flogged themselves mercilessly. Many have given great offerings and great sacrifices trying to please God. And all the while there's a sacrifice that'll please the Lord. And it comes from the outpouring of a sincere heart that's truly saved and in love with Jesus. And the very last verse of that great doctrinal book of Ephesians in chapter 6 and verse 24, he said, grace be unto those who serve Him with all sincerity. And I'm asking you tonight, are you sincerely and from your heart serving God and trying to please Him? Or are you just living however it may be? Everybody stand. I preach what the Lord's laid on my heart, Pastor.